Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and a judge in New York State ruled yesterday that New York City can proceed with plans to close 22 failing schools in September and place 15 charter schools in regular school buildings. The NAACP and the teachers union had sued to stop the plan, alleging it discriminated against regular district schools. Here to talk about the ruling, the failing schools, and the issue of charter schools using district school space in New York City is the city school's chancellor, Dennis Walcott. And in all our previous conversations in recent years, I addressed you as Deputy Mayor Walcott. This is your first appearance as chancellor. So, Mr. Chancellor, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be on. And I can make it easy for you. Just call me Dennis.
As we have for a long time. But this is a victory for the Department of Education. Tell us why you think it's good.
Well, let me rephrase it. I mean, it's a victory for our students, quite frankly, because we've had a number of our students, thousands of our students, on hold waiting for some type of decision by the judge as a result of this lawsuit. And so we had 7,000 students who were going to go to charter schools, and they didn't know the status. We had schools that, not just about charters, about schools that we wanted to phase out as well and make sure we phased them out in a proper way. They were on hold. So it's more than charters. It's more than co-locations around 22 phase-out schools as well.
The NAACP joined the teachers' union lawsuit to stop the plan, arguing that charter schools located in district buildings get an unequal portion of joint resources like gym and library space. They're basically arguing this is a return to separate and unequal, strong as that language is. What's your response to them?
Well, I mean, it's not just my response, the judge's response. And the judge was very clear in his language about the issue of substandard environment educational settings. And I think we're very clear as far as we didn't agree with the NAACP then. We definitely don't agree now. And the issue is about equity. We try to make sure that all of our schools, whether they're charter or non-charter, are treated in an equitable manner. And to me, that's the most important thing.
As
you know, Brian, we have co-locations throughout the entire city. We have roughly, I think, 750 schools that are co-located in our buildings. Almost 50% of our buildings are co-located buildings. And so we work very hard in developing building councils, making sure there's agreements taking place within school buildings, because it's about our students. It's not about a building itself.
Are you personally concerned with the consternation that these co-locations have caused, with so many parents in district schools at least having the perception that it's wrong to give up classrooms and library hours?
Well, I mean, some of those perceptions are just that, they're perceptions. I mean, we have, again, a number of our schools, over 700 that are co-located, who are functioning very well, and they function based on shared space and time. They have the principals working together. They have the school communities working together. And we expect the same thing to happen with these 15 charter schools that will be co-located in other buildings, in buildings throughout the city. So, again, I understand the concern, but people sometimes become very space-oriented as far as what was mine before is now something I have to share. And this is not about specific schools having their own space. It's about a building serving our students, and that's our bottom-line goal.
The critics see the charter schools as taking an us-against-the-neighborhood stance and weeding out English language learners and special needs students. Fair concern?
As a result of the new laws that were put in place, I mean, the charter schools have to treat their admissions process the same way as far as the lottery and making sure there's a balance with the district population, whether it's English language learners or special ed students. So if that was a concern before, that concern has been rectified, I guess, around last year with the new law that was put in place. So,
again,
we monitor that very carefully. We work with our charter schools. But, again, people put up issues when in reality our charter schools are one of many options that we want to have for our students. And I'm a big believer in options and having quality options for our students to choose from, and that way parents have the ability to select what they feel is best for their child or children, and that's what we want to do for our entire system.
I see in the news today that you had to discipline one charter school, the Academy Leadership Charter in the Bronx, for violating admissions policies.
Without question. And we'll do others as well as we watch very carefully those schools that are not charter schools. I mean, part of our role is making sure that our schools are working in an accountable way to the public. And I'm a big believer in that. I will be accessible to the public to make sure that our schools, all schools, are treating parents and our students properly and that making sure that they're following the policies that we put in place as well.
New York City Schools Chancellor Dennis Wolcott getting permission yesterday from a New York State court to close 22 failing schools and also to locate 15 charter schools in regular school buildings. If these 22 schools are going to close, where are all the students going to go? There aren't enough charter school seats for them all, right?
Well, a couple of things. One, we don't just close them. Schools phase out over a period of time, so they won't admit, if it's a high school, a new ninth grade class, and then the current ninth grade class will be the last graduating class. So it phases out over a period of time, and we have a responsibility to make sure if a child or children want to go to another school, working with them to go to another school as well. So they're not put out on the street. I want to change that misnomer that's always out there. They're phased out over a period of time. And again, it's not about charter versus non-charter. It's about quality schools. And so students will have the ability to go to quality schools. The goal of phasing out schools is to focus on those poor performing schools. And even the judge in his ruling was very clear about the substandard educational environments that these failing schools create, which will cause children to be considerably harmed. And that's strong language from the judge, and that's been our focus, making sure we're putting quality options in front of our parents.
Didn't the judge really say he couldn't decide if the plaintiffs were right on the merits when they argued that the failing schools didn't get the help that the city agreed to give them last year when the UFT won a first round in court? And, you know, there's an accusation out there by critics that the city actually doomed these schools to fail by underfunding and undersupporting because you plan to close them anyway. And didn't the judge say he really couldn't decide if the plaintiffs were right on that point?
No, not that I'm aware of. But again, let's be clear about how the city funds these schools. Schools are funded through our fair student funding process itself. So we don't decline and have a declination amount of money going into these schools at all. We put more energy and resources in making sure our students are getting supports in these schools. So people will put out what they feel sells. I deal with reality, and with these schools that are being phased out, we continue to support them. I announced, I guess, earlier on this summer that we'll have networks in place to provide special support for our phase-out schools as well. We want the students, even in the phase-out schools, to do well and to graduate and be able to succeed and make sure they're prepared for college and career. So, you know, we have a special focus around the phase-out schools, but again, our emphasis is around making sure that all of them are funded equitably, that the space is shared in a proper way. We put building councils in place. And this judge was very strong in his words as far as substandard educational environment. And he also talked about there was no clear convincing evidence that these low-performing schools could easily be turned around. So there's strong language in the judge's ruling.
What about the disparate funding that students in charter schools are blessed with compared to district schools? Usually I have a friend who has a second grader in a charter school in the Bronx, and she says her child has two full-time teachers.
You're focusing so much on the charters. Quite frankly, this is about having quality options. And so if charters and other schools that are not charters are able to put in different mechanisms that allow their schools to flourish, we support that. And it's not about disparate funding. Charters get fair student funding based on formulas as well. And some of them are able to raise money privately, and some of our non-charter schools are able to raise money privately as well. I've been to numerous schools throughout my 9 years, both as deputy mayor and as chancellor, in making sure that our schools are performing well. I've been to schools where they have very creative programs, where they have teachers doing team teaching. So it's not relegated to charter schools, and people constantly trying to make this a charter versus non-charter debate. I'm not going to get sucked into that. It's about quality options and making sure parents have quality options to choose from.
We have 2 minutes left. Back to the closing of the failing schools for a minute. Is there solid evidence at this point that anything changes when a new school opens?
Without question. We've been able to demonstrate when we phased out schools and replaced them with new schools, those new schools that we've replaced them with have significantly outperformed the schools that we phased out. And we have a very clear track record on that. And even with some of the schools that we've created as new schools, when they don't do well, we don't sit on them. We will phase them out as well. But for the most part, the majority of the schools that we have put in place, replacing phase-out schools, have significantly outperformed the schools that they've replaced.
Last question. What happens
Sure.
to summer schools with no air conditioning on a 100-degree day?
Well, I tell you, we've tried to make sure that we have our summer schools in buildings or the buildings have rooms that have air conditioning in anticipation of hot days. There may be a couple of cases where they're not there and our staff is on top of that. We try to make sure, even though I got an email this morning about a bus that was overheated, and we're going to work on that as well. But we've tried to locate just about all of our summer school programs in buildings, both with air conditioning or have air conditioned rooms, so that way that students on days like today can be located to those air conditioned rooms.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, you know, we're asking our listeners all morning, how hot is it? And Tim on our Facebook page wrote, it's so hot, the Hudson River is turning into soup.
You know, it's interesting. It really is hot. But, you know, just one factoid for me at the end of the conversation.
Yes.
You know, we phased out roughly 89 of our lowest performing schools, and we've opened up 496 new schools, including 126 charter schools. When I was in school way back when, we probably would talk about 1,100 schools. When I started here in the administration, we would probably say we had 1,200 schools in the New York City public school system. Now we can say we have 17 or almost 1,700 schools throughout the New York City public school system. And to me, that's important because, again, people have more quality options to choose from than ever before.
I'll remember that stat and use it. That's a good number to know. And Chancellor Walcott, we talk about education a lot on this show during the summer because we know teachers and principals and staff are more available to listen at this time of day. Some parents, more than usual, are home with their kids, too. So we hope to have you back later in the summer and talk about other things.
Look forward to it. It'll be my pleasure.
Chancellor Dennis Walcott from the New York City Department of Education. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, why Jay Walder suddenly left the MTA, announcing his resignation yesterday. Why Easy Pass discounts are becoming harder to get, and how drivers are bridge shopping when they're on the road in New York City these days. And we'll explain what that means. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.